From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. I appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we move on into the fall. And Julie Sly joins us, the editor of the Catholic Herald magazine from
Good
her
morning.
World headquarters across the hall.
Yes.
It is the world headquarters of the Catholic Herald.
I deserve bigger dates for a headquarters, but that's okay.
And you are now in the world
I'll
headquarters
stay
of the
in
Bishop's
my
Hour.
Humble, in my humble abode.
Yes.
So would you like to talk about this November, December magazine? Okay, we've got
it's purple.
Five young faces on the front who are millennial Catholics.
What does millennial mean?
There's a lot of subgroups.
Generation X, baby boomers, millennials.
Y. Oh, no,
Gen
I'm baby
y.
boomers. I'm not a millennial.
I'm the original baby boomer.
Oh, you
which
are?
Which was people coming back from
World War II.
I'm kind
of cut off of the baby boomers. I'm 1960. So yeah. I think it's either 60 or 62 for the cutoff.
Yeah.
Of the boomers. So, millennials are generally anyone born from 1980 to 2000.
Okay.
But within that category, I learned there are many subcategories, which don't ask me off the top of my head now, but there are.
there are
Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z is younger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And also, even within, I think, Gen X or Gen Y, there are some categories within that, depending on whether, as I kind of understand it, you were handed an iPhone when you were 2 versus became familiar with one you were 13, 14. You know, it's kind of a little bit defined on when you became familiar with technology. Were you technology like a baby? Or there are a lot of people now in their late 30s or 35 and older who certainly grew up with technology, but maybe they weren't really using it that much till they were 12, 13, 14.
What about those
of
us who
distinguishes
we're still looking for the button on the TV to turn the TV on because we don't know how to use the remote?
You're in a unnamed category.
Challenged baby boomer.
Yeah.
the one thing you can say if these are millennials is they're all smiling and happy. Those are great
photos.
They just look like they got the world by the tail.
Well, we wanted to and the cover story, millennial Catholics, where the now, who they are, what they see, how they think, and what they hope for the church. And we basically put it in a conversational format where they were talking about themselves, their experience with the church. Some of them were cradle Catholics. Mm-hmm. Some of them are converts. Some of them are a little bit on the fence at times. I think one thing we learned, I didn't do the cover story, Lynette Maitnino, one of my freelancers, did.
Great writer.
But one of the things we did learn, and in trying to select some young Catholics who would be willing to talk about their feelings, their beliefs, their hopes, their dreams, this generation really is very mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they're working 2 and 3 jobs, depending on their profession. A lot of times they move away from home, have to move back in with their parents. There's a lot of things going on. I won't say everybody in the baby boomers that we were all totally financially stable at all times. Right. But I think it's a real challenge for this millennial generation.
It is. It seems like the world's changed so fast. And in some areas, especially this area, things have gotten very expensive. Things have gotten, cost of living has skyrocketed, mostly because of the cost of housing.
I think when I went to college and moved away from home, if we ever said we had to move back home, it would be horror of horrors.
Oh, yeah.
You're moving back with your parents, but now it's so, so common.
Yeah, and it's, people say, I guess I'm not going to be able to buy a home in this area, but at least I can rent. But the two go hand in hand. The rents get
The rents are very high.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, the other day, had to do an errand on like 19th and S, and there's our whole R Street development in Sacramento, and there's a development there called Ice Blocks. I thought, oh, I'll just see what the rents are. Wow. Well, for the smallest studio, about 400 square feet was $1,575.
Yeah, in so many places now, you know, they want first and last, and they want
you're not just talking about the first month's
$1 million security deposit and a credit check. And,
yes.
You know, holy cow, and maybe even a cosigner. And you're like, wow.
And I also think, and this is, again, big generalization, but I think we were, I guess I feel, my generation was a little bit more programmed into, okay, I'm going to be an engineer for 30 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to be a lawyer for 30 years.
Right.
I'm going to be a journalist for 30 years. I don't think young people I talk to that, some of them are locked in, a lot of them are not locked in to a specific career. They also have seen their parents at times not even be that happy when they were locked in to a particular. People are marrying later. I don't think any of our, we didn't ask if they were married. I don't think any of these young people, but I don't think any of them are married. We have a 22, 29, 23, 31, and 37-year-old.
My dad telling me growing up when we talk about stuff and things that you were interested in and kind of when you figured out that you weren't good enough to be a Major League Baseball player, which was really the only thing you wanted to be, you know, that.
Not me, but go ahead.
But he said, you know, if you're lucky enough to find something that you love, don't worry about your salary. Don't worry about, obviously you worry about it and you think about it and all that, and you always want the boss to give you a raise. But if it's something that makes you happy, you're way ahead of the game because so many people, work is drudgery and work is a huge part of your life.
Yeah.
You know, it just is, you know. You'd have everything else.
Ask anybody who retires. There's usually a year or two adjustment where they're kind of going through a little identity.
Yeah.
It's usually their identity, unless you really 100% hate your job.
Right.
Your identity is bound up a lot
in
what your profession is.
Yeah. It's almost the first thing people ask somebody else. They don't
where you're from.
They
what
don't
do you
say,
do?
What religion are you?
Not usually.
They don't even say, well, how many kids do you have? Or, you know, they say, so what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's your favorite color?
Yeah. So I was just super impressed with the, and I hope our readers and our.
So where do you find these people?
Well, we had a lot of help with, I have to say, I consulted with our youth and young adult regional coordinators, Lindsay West, Richard Cervaney, or Kevin Stashow, who's the head of that department. And they suggested different people from around the diocese. And, you know, not everybody said yes. We contacted more people than said yes. But I think this is good. We have, I'll just read a couple little things here. Donovan Serrano is from Divine Mercy Parish. He's a youth ministry leader. He's also had a Knight of Columbus third degree.
Holy cow.
But I love the honesty here. I don't know that I would expect anything other than honesty, but it just comes, the sincerity and the honesty to me just comes through so much in this. He says, just one part of his. There have been dry periods in my spirituality, but even then I continue to go to Mass and serve. Eventually I get that fire back. I keep moving forward. It's very important. Just listening to young adults will help bridge the gap and help them to feel they have a home in the church. I like the reason I chose the headline "We're the Now" is because I feel, I guess in my own observation, most of our parishes, if not all, are really aging. You don't see a lot of young folks there.
My wife and I have made that observation many times.
Yeah, and this is not a recent observation. This is the last 25 years.
Yeah.
So unless we start considering some of the young faces, the few young faces we see there as the now, we're not going to have a future church. They aren't the future church. They're the church now. And I think that's what comes through a lot of this. Donovan says, I hope young adults will get involved and meet their brothers and sisters. Dive into it. And practicing Catholics, share your story to attract millennials. What we bring is valuable. We're the now. So I actually stole the headline from Donovan. He gave me the headline. And then we also have Stella Choi, who is 29. She is from our Korean Catholic community. She's been involved in, as a, I'm not sure if her profession is a teacher. I think she is. And also she's been involved in young adult ministry. She says, having a voice can be a challenge. Sometimes the church doesn't speak to the topics that are on the minds of young adults. It really shouldn't try to understand what's on our minds. It's not just about traditions. It's about community. It's hard to make this faith journey alone. So they really admit that there are, I love her other reflection here. There is a conflict between tradition and how things are changing now. I know as a Korean American, we are very much rooted in tradition and cultural values. Some accept that better than others. There must be communication and dialogue. I try to open that up at meetings because I don't think there has to be conflict. But if you ignore it, then that's a problem. They're really reflective. I love them. I hope my readers really read these because they give you a sampling of. And then we have Tanner Sheffield, who is a youth minister at St. John the Baptist in Chino. He talks about his dad passed away when he was 13 years old, and the youth group there at St. John the Baptist really helped him get through. His depression and the hurt after his dad passed away. Anytime you go through a tragedy, the immediate human reaction is to run in one of two directions, to God or away from him. You can either blame him for all the bad things or you can trust in his love. I thank God every day for giving me the faith and patience to trust in his plan. He put youth ministry in my life to be there for me and to get me through the hard times.
Wow.
So that should be encouraging, I would think, to anyone who volunteers in youth ministry. As I know, you know, a lot of times youth ministers think, oh, we just don't have very many youth here.
Right.
But, you know, I guess you got to look at it in the sense of if even you touch one individual's
Absolutely.
Life.
Well, and wouldn't you like to know exactly what his experience was, what his interaction was with other people in that youth group when his dad died, and in the days and weeks afterwards, when he was struggling with that, because you can only imagine how difficult that is for somebody at any age, but right at that, you know, you're just starting your teen years, and and you're probably the only kid in school that doesn't
and
have a dad.
And who knows, maybe that inspired him to, I don't know, Tanner, maybe that inspired him to be a youth minister now. I don't know. He also says, young people want to talk about gay marriage, why women cannot be priests, and other issues. It's hard to come to terms with the Catholic views on these subjects when you don't know the whole truth. For many, the only voice that is heard is a false narrative of hate judgment. As good Catholics, we can't avoid these issues. We need to be a voice which proclaims the Church's message of love and understanding. We need to better educate ourselves on theology of the body and God's plan for humanity. We need to better understand what it means to be made in the image of light and likeness of God. It's important because every single person is a unique, unrepeatable, and beloved son or daughter of God and needs to be loved as such. Minister to the gathered. Once we do, they can gather the scattered. Will they come back? With God, all things are possible, but it's got to start with you and me.
Wow.
I know. Don't you? I was just blown away. I'm actually glad we included. I had taught. I'm actually glad we just put this in their first person voice, as I think, not that it couldn't have been strong otherwise, but I think.
Yeah, it's power. I'm going, how old is this guy?
Yeah.
23
yeah,
years.
23.
With all due respect to 23-year-olds, that's really. Very
and then we have
words.
Venus De Hoy. She's 31, Our Lady of Grace Parish. She's very involved. She's a Her profession is a project manager at a printing company. She's also president of the St. Vincent de Paul Society for the YOLO Delta.
Oh, yeah.
And she does young adult ministry. One of her reflections here. My biggest worry and concern and concerns are that our church is failing to engage our brothers and sisters. And I'm not saying entertain us, because there is a difference. Obviously, our liturgy and who we are should never change. But as the world evolves, our church must be ready and willing to do the same. If we're engaging them, they're saying this is who we are and part of our salvation. And Mass is the source and summit of our faith. We're not afraid to talk about problems, and we understand that everyone is broken and everyone needs healing. We have to start trusting God and living this. For example, I have friends within the LGBTQ community, and many have left because there is no bridge or place for them. There is no room for Christ to come and heal with the open arms of love. The beauty of our church is so resonating and so universal, and it draws people. It's the reason I converted. But we must meet our brothers and sisters where they are. Otherwise, we will never reach them.
Wow. Sounds like she's quoting Pope Francis.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. I just love the way they, in these first person, they express themselves. And they're so rooted and grounded in their faith in their own ways.
Yeah,
I think it's instructional for all of us.
It's very heartening.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're right. I've seen my wife Shelley and I have made that observation that very frequently. And that we go to church and there aren't many young families. A few, but not. At least maybe I'm not remembering well, but it seems like it was more spread throughout all ages when I was a kid. You know, mm-hmm. Of course everybody was an adult when you're a kid, but
right.
But it seems different, and I know Bishop Soto's very very concerned about youth and young adults, the mm-hmm. future of the church, and with Kevin and Lindsay and Richard, we got a troika going there that's pretty darn good. I'll tell you, they're very, very devoted.
Well,
to
and
it.
Also too, and we don't get into it. And I think I'm trying to fit it in our magazine, but you know, I only have so much space. But there are, it's touched upon in another article I'll talk about. But earlier this year, St. Mary's Press and Hera from Georgetown University, they've been doing this research, you know, with the nuns.
Right.
N-O-N-E-S.
Right.
And also interviewing young people in earlier age. And really, the conclusions coming out now are that young people are already losing, even if they're being raised in the Catholic Church, they are questioning and losing their faith at age 12, 13. We're not talking about 17, 18.
Like when they go off to college or leave the home for any reason. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We're talking, again, that's why confirmation programs, things like that are so important.
Right.
So Jennifer, our last person here, Jennifer Returbin, she's 37, from Ute Shepherd Parish. She's been very involved in Signals for Christ, which is primarily in the Filipino community. They have Couples for Christ, Singles for Christ, and their faith
sounds
sharing.
Like a baseball term. Yeah. Singles for Christ.
Maybe. And she talks about a lot of young adults may not have the courage or understanding of what God is calling them to do. It's hard to get them involved. It is like they are faith impaired. It's helpful and encouraging to have people mentor you. And once you get young adults to church, so much can happen. Inviting them is what's important. Whether the individual accepts the invitation, well, that's on that person. But God always finds different avenues to call people. And I think in a prayer group, she says, with my sisters in Singles for Christ, we were going over the gospel, and the reflection question was, What is God calling you to do? When it was my turn to share, I responded back to teach. My peers encouraged me and checked back, and that is how I got involved as a catechist. Then she says, our new youth minister asked me to serve on the core team support, encouraging the team members to also serve as a lector or Eucharistic minister. I chose to lecture because I enjoy reading the Word of God. After reading at Mass, a former catechist whom I had assisted came up and said she was so happy for me. It was extremely encouraging. I think if people can simply be informal mentors to young adults, show them where things are, invite them and encourage them, they will take the next steps. That's what happened to me. Others told me, we need you, and God showed me what to do.
Wow.
So that shows, really, that can be done in any parish. I mean, how many parish councils invite young people to serve?
Right.
How many finance councils? How many whatever,
yeah.
You know, lecturing, all right. of that.
Right, to really reach out to them.
Yeah. And a lot of times that's all it takes to ask.
Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, that's our hover story.
Wow.
A little bit different.
Those are very, very heartening and very... very inspiring stories on each of them. It's great to see that.
Yeah, so I hope people read that. Do I still have more time?
Yes, you do. But first, we're going to take a quick break. We're with Julie Sly, the editor of the Catholic Herald, and we're looking through the brand spanking new, hot off the press Catholic Herald newspaper. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Good morning. This is Sister Maria, and I'm the Formation Director for the Seminarians, and you are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Sister Maria. Thanks for all you do with the Office of Vocations here in the Diocese of Sacramento. We're with Julie Sly, the editor of the Catholic Herald magazine, and we're now looking at a page in the brand new, it has a giant radio microphone. Where's my picture?
I knew you were going to say that, but unfortunately you didn't.
Picture?
You didn't. Well, you ain't going to fit into the millennial category.
Yes. Oh, that's right. It's a whole
you,
millennial.
On the other hand.
I missed the cutoff by 6 months. Gabe shaking his head. He said he's over millennial.
Oh, he's over millennial. Is he 42? Is that what he's motioning to me?
That's metric, though.
He's way over millennial. Sorry, Abe.
A young
man.
Your
best years are ahead, I'm sure. But then my predictions never come true. So.
So
one of our other stories, I got to write this one, is about Young Soul Alma Hoven, which is a very popular program on Radio Santissimo Sacramento.
That's the title of the show.
Yes, Young Soul. It actually goes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday live on the Eternal World. Oh, my gosh, it should be Eternal Word. I just saw a typo. Uh-oh. Don't look at that, people. television Network, EWTN.
Right.
And it also airs on Facebook Live. And it started in 2012. And the main two co-hosts are Cecilia Aguilar Clark and Juan Carlos Paredes. And they are the hosts. And they look at their show is Spanish.
Right.
It's bilingual. So you tune in. There'll be seamless flow between English and Spanish.
Right.
And I talked to them in depth on how they got involved with this, because they are trying to reach young people with this show. Although they know that a lot of parents listen to the show and people older than parents, so and they know that those people try and get young people to tune in, so but they know they're going to more than just young people. I love how Juan Carlos describes the show. They do usually have a topic that they think that they're going to talk about, and then they have to try and have like maybe an expert in on that topic or like that. But of course, sometimes they don't always have a topic, but they do plan the show ahead of time. They describe their show as featuring various topics related to faith and culture, as well as social issues. They want it to be a conversation that's lively, upbeat, not boring for listeners. Juan Carlos says, I picture our show as if we are at a coffee shop. All around a table, we're talking about our faith seriously and lightheartedly. He's been one of the hosts in the show since it debuted in May 2012, and he was a volunteer for the radio show before that. He says, we have conversations that people have, and they happen to be Christ-centered. If our show was boring, no one would listen. I'm sure you have that same feeling.
That's right. I have never been around Juan Carlos where he wasn't just, you thought he was the happiest guy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, he has this infectious joy to him and very genuine, you know. And you just go, wow, what an impressive human being he is. And I'm not surprised at all the popularity of that show.
No.
And 1240 a.m., by the way, is.
Yeah, 1240 a.m. And I think they do have I don't have the number, but they do have a new FM. It might be 94.3, but you can check on their website, RadioSantissimoSacramento.com, as I believe they added an FM station, which Lorena, the general manager, was very happy about. As I learned in doing this story, young people don't listen to AM.
FM, I know.
AM. They listen to FM if they're trying to find their favorite music.
When they're not
and
listening
she's
to
hoping,
Pandora or something
when
else.
When she hopes that if they're turning the dial, they might come to the FM.
Yeah.
But they don't listen to AM at all. And Cecilia, so Juan Carlos, I believe, is 33. Yes, he grew up in El Salvador. Mm-hmm. And he's had really actually his share of hardship. He moved here when he was 19. Mm-hmm. And he does admit to abusing drugs and alcohol a lot. And then he went on a search retreat for young adults in Orland in 2007. That led him to the Sacrament of Reconciliation and back to practicing his faith. He says since
you
that
said
moment
in Orland?
In Orland.
Wow.
Yeah. Since that moment, everything I did was wiped away. I keep moving forward. I still struggle and have things I need to work on in my personal life, but every time I fall, I get up as quick as I can. So that was great. Then he shared it with us. And then Cecilia is 32. She grew up in Mexico, and she came to the U.S. when she was 18. She actually met her husband when he came to visit the radio station. He was a recent convert at Our Lady at Guadalupe Parish, wanted to help out as a volunteer at the radio station. And they met, I believe, about two and a half years ago. no, longer than that, 3 years. They've been married for 2 years. And they recently, and I can't tell you, she was just about to have their first child when I interviewed them. So I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. And she just graduated from Sacramento City College in communications. So they do realize that they might not have a main audience yet. But all of their listeners tell them sometimes, I'm not a young person, but I like to listen to you because you have lots of energy.
I think they have a very big audience.
Oh, they do have a main. Yeah, they do. Well, especially with me on EWTN also. And then a lot of people watch it on Facebook Live, and it repeats on Facebook Live. So I like what Harlow says. It's not that we have to be so careful what we say, but sometimes with young adults, it's not what we say, but the way we say it. It can either bring them back to the church or turn them away from the church for a long time. We try to be merciful while at the same time sticking with the truth of our faith. Cecilia says, I try to put myself in the shoes of young adults who often have many questions. On our show, we have the chance to say that being holy, something we all strive for, is not impossible. It's not something so high that just a few can do it. We try to develop the message that God loves you just as you are, whatever your job or vocation. Doesn't matter if you're working in instruction as a nurse or as a housekeeper. And they both say that being the host of this show has helped with their own spiritual formation. Juan Harlow says, being the host in some way makes me a bit of a public figure, so I have to be mindful of that. I personally enjoy being able to be myself, to express my faith in many ways. I happily enjoy my vocation as a single person. Even when I'm sad, the show helps me to find peace in my heart, and I know it is from the Lord. Cecilia adds, the radio has been there for me when I've had some low moments spiritually. We all have those times. A few years ago, I was spiritually going through a difficult moment, but to know that I had the show and to talk about my faith was incredible in helping me through it.
That's the second time we've heard that in just this conversation. Someone else was talking about the spiritual.
Yeah.
And
well, and I think we know that from great spiritual figures.
Like Mother Teresa.
It's not like, you know, hunty dory every minute.
Well, I forget how long ago it was, 3 or 4 years ago, when Mother, maybe a little bit longer than that even, when some of the letters Mother Teresa had written to
revealed that she wasn't always in tune spiritually.
Oh, she was, I mean, really, really, really spiritually dry is, I guess, what they say. And you go, holy cow, and yet she soldiered on. And some people thought, oh, this is scandalous. Oh, see? See, even she.
I kind of thought, thank God.
Yeah, it was like.
Someone else admits it.
Yeah, it was inspiring that she didn't go, okay, I don't believe in God anymore. I don't believe in any of this stuff. I'm going to go be a rock star. Forget this India stuff. No, she just soldiered on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it even, I don't know how I could elevate my feelings about her, but it did. It was just like, wow.
Yeah. And then also in this article, I spoke with Lorena Alboron, who is the general manager.
Right.
And she says they've really branched out to do other things. They are doing these retreats called Freedom to Love, which is sponsored by the radio. They had one recently that had 200 teens aged 14 to 17. And Juan Harlow says, many of the kids, probably 75%, were hearing about God's love and how to love in a Catholic way and learning about chastity for the first time. That's a message they don't often hear. Then Lorena says, since the majority of Latino Catholic youth in our diocese are born in the U.S., a long-term goal is to reach those under 18. And Lorena recently, through our program in the diocese, received her master's degree in pastoral ministry from Santa Clara. And actually, her whole thesis for her master's degree was all about this subject.
Oh, wow.
We realize now that teenagers are at a crucial age. That is when they are staying or leaving their faith, not the church, She makes the distinction. At that age, they are critical of what the church is doing. They are exploring their ideas of God and justice. We have to keep formation and education in the forefront and make this more intentional in our programming. And then she notes that on a Young Soul program, they've had to consider the great differences that exist among the Latin American countries themselves. We have hosts, young hosts from different Latin American countries, including El Salvador, Mexico, Guatemala, and Puerto Rico. And Juan Carlos also says, we have to speak louder than the world outside, which gives young people many conflicting messages. The world outside is speaking louder than Christ, so we have to speak loud also. It's important for us to practice the sacraments, be involved in our faith. People ask me many, many times, why do you smile? It's because of Christ, I answer. By speaking and by all our actions, we need to tell people we are Catholic. And just by seeing our example, they may follow along. So, anyway.
You got some great quotes in there.
I know.
Some great quotes. We're with Julie Slythe, the editor of the Catholic Herald magazine. The brand new Catholic Herald is hot off the press. We'll be landing in your mailbox one day soon. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more with Julie right after this.
Good morning. This is Sister Maria, and I'm the Formation Director for the Seminarians, and you are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Hello, this is Mark Ross from the Diocese of Sacramento Black Catholic Ministry. This is the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thanks, Mark, and thanks for all you do here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Julie Sly is with us, the editor of the Catholic Herald magazine. Julie, this is a fabulous edition.
I think it is one of our better ones. Yeah. I don't want to say the most fabulous, as then, you know.
So how do you pick topics? And with a magazine format, you got to plan way ahead.
Yes. I mean, actually, this issue... we were doing the, November, December. We probably were starting the plan for this one maybe like in June or July.
Yeah. You're already working on a second coming issue. Is that correct?
And then writing the stories. And then, of course, with the magazine, we do have everyone who's interviewed. They approve their story. Because we don't want, you know, what would be the point of having someone's quote in there? And most people don't tweet their story a lot. But it's a certain...
Well, I know they're rarely, and I'm a journalist and have been virtually my whole adult life and work for a newspaper. And it's, on rare occasion, I get interviewed. And there are times where you read it. And, of course, you know, I don't say, hey, I want to see your story before. And you read it, you go, it's kind of what I said, but the tone is not how I said it, you know. And so it's really hard to capture. And I think it's good that you do that.
I mean, with the magazine, we have more time as we do plan pretty far in advance. The other thing, too, is I, as the editor, probably maybe write about half of the feature stories. And, you know, I don't necessarily interview someone and then I run back to my desk and I write the story right then. That never happens. So if I do a longer interview with someone, I do tape it and then I have the tape to look back on if I want to check on quotes.
You want to check on a quote. Yeah, the thing that I've found is very helpful to me because when I'm sort of old-fashioned and when I'm interviewing somebody, I'm longhand taking quotes.
Oh, yeah, I don't even know shorthand. And I wish I did.
And sometimes you, if it's a couple of weeks later, maybe it's a feature story that you just kind of put on the shelf, you go back and you... I'm not even sure what that word is I was trying to write because he was talking so fast.
Yeah.
Or I'm not quite sure of the context here. And so I'll go home from an interview and immediately type up my notes.
Yeah, that's helpful.
You know, and because it's fresh, the context is fresh. So that I've got my notes and they make sense. And then I can put it on the shelf if that's maybe it's not due for a week or two.
Right. But, right.
As a newspaper guy, it's usually due in about an hour.
Yeah. So, I mean, we do have a luxury here. And I never did that when we had the newspaper here. I mean, I just had to write the story.
The newspaper was about every 2 weeks, right?
Every 2 weeks. Yeah. We had a few months where it was monthly. Right. But with the newspaper, I didn't really ever show people. I might have called them back and just said, I want to double check this quote with you.
Right.
But I never sent them the whole story. There's pros and cons to it. Once in a while, I will say for the most part, people don't change that much. Once in a while, I get into and I, you know, and I have to say, okay, we're done with the changes now.
Yeah.
As I'm, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then we do go into layout. Like for this issue, it actually mailed out, I believe, October 27th or 28th, and it actually went to the printer around October 11th or 12th. Mm-hmm. So we were in layout for this issue, like maybe September 20th. We're usually in layout for about 2.5. So that means the stories had to be really be interviewed and written and photos and all that pretty much second half of July and August.
So,
you know, so we're doing it way in advance.
So do you, like this one, which is wrapped around millennials.
Yeah, so we had the theme for the issue.
So do you come up with the theme first and then go find the people, or do sometimes you keep running into these millennials and you go, wow, we should have...
Well, in this case, it was kind of both. We do usually select the theme, like we were just have selected the themes that Bishop Soto wants for 2019.
Uh-huh.
So that one, I mean, I suggested this just because they've been, you know, there's a need for us to examine. We're declining, and all churches are declining in younger members. So what do they think? Who are the millennials out there? But we do, I mean, we've had maybe a few times switch out a theme if something was more pressing.
Right.
But normally we're doing the themes. And then I ask for a lot of input. People can email me directly if they have a story idea. A lot of times we follow up on those. I meet with relevant people. In this case, I met with our staff people here that are involved in youth and young adult ministry. I said, what are some of your ideas for stories? I have some of my own ideas, but what are, and who are some of the people that you know out there from working in the parishes?
Right.
We did talk about trying to talk to some young adults maybe who had strayed from the faith, but then it was a little bit more difficult to find out who those people are.
Right, right. Yeah, where
you And then again, you know, there are so many personal reasons why someone leaves their faith for a period of time or like that. And then, so, I mean, maybe that could be a future time, but we certainly did talk about it as a, in a planning process. But it was a little bit hard to, and also, you know, I guess, how would you... You don't want it just to be where someone would be just kind of airing their gripes or personal grievances. Am I putting that right?
Yeah.
Because honestly, from my experience and in talking with priests and lay staff and that, many people leave the church over one incident.
No, I was just going to say there are as many reasons as there are people. But, and, I was... at Mass and somebody said something, or the lady in front of me gave me a dirty look, or, you know, just like, you go, really?
Yeah.
It wasn't a very friendly place, or they blame a priest or a deacon or a fellow parishioner or somebody taking up the collection, and who knows, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And but you hear these stories, and sometimes it's just an excuse. I don't want to go to Mass anymore, but sometimes it's real. And it's
but I think we could certainly do a whole issue on young adults and why they've left.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's presuming that young adults will want to talk to us about why they've left.
Right.
Which is, I mean, I had many young adults who I talked to or inquired of that really didn't even want to interview for this magazine because it was so personal to them. Or they were still going through a discernment process of whether, and you've got to respect that.
Well, we're all we're all going through
discernment all the time.
Day,
but you know what I'm saying.
No,
they're
exactly discerning. Yeah.
And I had a couple that I contacted, and they said, you know, it's really not the right time for me to interview. And you've got to respect that.
Right, absolutely.
So, but that kind of leads me to one of our other feature stories is, what's it like to be a millennial in the priesthood? And we interviewed two priests. I did the story. Father Jeremy Santos, who's parochial vicar at St. Basil Parish in Vallejo, just coming off his first assignment of 2 years as parochial vicar of Holy Rosary Parish in Woodland.
Where he was very popular.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then also Father Michael Ritter, who is parochial vicar. Actually, he's parochial administrator right now. It switched, and in the time I interviewed him, at St. John the Baptist Parish in Chico, he also helps out a great deal at the Newman Center in Chico, as does Father Santos helps out a lot at, or celebrates Mass a lot at the Newman Center in Sacramento, and sometimes Davis. So the one reason I kind of went to that is... Father Ritter, who was ordained, let's see, he's been ordained about 4 years, 3 years, 2015, 3.5 years almost. And he talked about, and both said, I will say this, both said, I don't really think of myself as a millennial in the priesthood. I just happen to be of millennial age, and I'm a priest. But he said, they both said, I don't go around thinking of my identity as I'm a millennial in the priesthood.
Right.
When I asked them about it. So one thing I want to say about Father Ritter is before he got to Chico, he was 2 years at St. Charles Parish in South Sacramento. And talking about how different things can make or break, you know, someone staying in the church or not, he said he spent countless hours hearing confessions, ministering to parishioners in hospitals, home visits, as well as celebrating funerals. One of the most stunning things for me at the ordination is you are at a parish and you're burying people's dead kids and dealing with people 2 and 3 times your age, and they're coming to you for wisdom. That's such a humbling, deep awareness of the fact that it's not about you. Your life represents more than you. You approach people with deep reverence. But he talks about how he brought, you can preach a great homily, but what I saw over and over again was that if you take care of people when they're dying and celebrate a funeral with your whole heart, there was a deep kind of connection. People who were never there were suddenly there because the church was there for their loved one and accompanied them. I take a pastoral view from that experience, taking care of the dying and their families. I've seen the church growing, and I brought far more people into the fold through funerals than I have through many other forms of ministry. Isn't that interesting? So he was talking about really just his ministry as one of presence. In fact, I lead up the story about when he had not been at the parish too long at St. Charles, he was called to go to by a family to visit a mother who had lost her second son to gang-related gun violence. One had been killed in March and the second in June. He says, I remember driving over to her house and thinking, what am I supposed to say? If a priest is going to be there, you have to have some words. He said, when I got into the house, the whole family of 15 or so was standing in a circle. I said to her, I just drove over here to hold your hands and tell you I'm sorry about your son.
Wow. Boy, so, that's powerful stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, I hope people will read that. A lot of things.
There's Tanner Sheffield's picture again.
Yes.
I'm going to show this to my kids and say, I want you to find somebody that was in this magazine.
Twice.
Actually, three times because he's
on the three
cover.
Times. Yeah.
Three times. I want you to find somebody that's in this magazine three times.
Right.
See, and then they'll read it. Then read it.
And then one thing from Father Jeremy Santos. Are we getting close on time here? Okay. One thing about Father Jeremy was that he said he's a runner. He's about to do his third marathon coming up here at the CIM in December. And he says running's a good way to relieve stress, be able to reflect and think about what's going on in my life. It's also a good analogy for life. You feel like you can just run forever, a runner's high. You feel unstoppable. And then in the next corner, you want to give up already. And you wonder, why am I doing this? So he says, in life, there will be times when we feel good, maybe even invincible, but in those low moments, we keep pushing until to get to our goal. So one of the things he said in Woodland was, I walked down Main Street in my clerics, and I would get stares from some people. Mm-hmm. Even a kid said to me one time, are you allowed to come out of church? Why are you here? He says a priest doing normal things was foreign to many. So he became friends with some of the car owners. You know, they have a lot of car clubs in Woodland and car shows and that. And running, he would run the turkey trot with parishioners, which he said was really a time management issue, as he had to do the turkey trot and be back in time for Mass on Thanksgiving Day.
On Thanksgiving Day, yeah.
So
that's a famous run.
Anyway, I thought both of them really said it was very stressful at times to view stick calls, funerals, masses, weddings. Especially when called to a parishioner or family he did not know. Mm-hmm. He said, if I'm called in that situation, I have to remember why I'm there. I am there so Christ can be there with them. They see a priest as the representation of the Lord. So I always remind myself that my purpose is to bring Christ's peace to the experience of darkness that they may have. So anyway, I hope people. He went to Sac State. He was going to become a police officer.
Wow.
And then he again was invited by young adults and his parish in Fairfield, Holy Spirit, to come to some deeper faith experiences. And then he started seeing that maybe he could serve as a priest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive story. So is he in training for the...
I think he is now. Yeah, he's running the marathon, and it's usually the first Sunday in December. Yeah.
Very good.
So anyway, I hope people read this issue. Some people probably have gotten it in the mail already. What are we, November 5th? So some people probably have gotten it
Very good.
So.
Well, Julie.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Great stuff, and Can't wait to finish reading all of it.
Okay, great.
Thanks very much. That's Julie Sly, the editor of the Catholic Herald magazine. Underwriting for the Bishop's Hour is provided by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call. They are at 855-525-2285. That's 855-525-2285. We're also brought to you by a generous grant from Christine Cipperly, marriage and family therapist. If you're looking for help with family or personal problems, if you'd like help from someone with a Catholic point of view, someone who understands the importance of marriage and family and affirms the dignity of every human life, Christine Cipperly is a trained and experienced counselor of married couples, families, and individuals. She can work with you on your marriage, your parenting, or your individual struggles in a way that will not violate our faith. Christine is a wonderful, wonderful therapist. Give her a call. She's at 530-400-4757. That's 530-400-4757. We'd like to thank Christine Cipperly and Catholic Cemeteries and Funeral Services for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, that God is love and God is just. At the cross you beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for to my knees, and I am